We want to talk about drawing. And the etymology of this Greek word is as drawing, the etymology in the metaphoric sense, drawing like a magnet.
Okay.
That's the way our Father does those that He loves through the Holy Spirit. You can hardly help it. You feel that draw, that pull. Even the word can be translated tug, where He can tug at the reins of your heart and your mind to let you know this is the truth. This is a way. And I am that way. So open your Bibles, if you would, to St. John chapter 6. St. John chapter 6. And we read in verse 43 of St. John 6, And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. They were complaining a little bit. Okay, they couldn't accept what was going on here. Verse 44, No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. There's our word. Except our Father draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, what day is that? The Lord's Day, of course. You know, this is written in multi-levels. For God's elect, it means I'm going to draw you out and use you at the last day, which is to say the Lord's Day. Well, what's the Lord's Day? The millennium, of course. Verse 45, It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Do you know where that's written? It's written in Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54. You know who it's written to? Those that would remain barren when the Antichrist came. That would know and recognize him as the fake, the false one. And our Father would say in verse 6, 5 and 6, For thy maker is thine husband. Not some fake, but he's the real thing. But the reason we came here was in verse, was the fact that the children would all be taught. And so it is, verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And when you have the truth in your mind, you do find that peace. What's it called? Peace of mind. When you understand that our Father is in control, then you know and understand and attain that peace of mind where it's rich, where you attain it. You treasure it, but you know, most of all, you're drawn to it. You can't go there unless the Father draws you. Okay? And there you have it. It is written. When Christ would say that, you always go to the Old Testament and you pick up on it. You learn and you understand from it. Verse 46, returning to John 6. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, He hath seen the Father. Well, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. If you love the Son, you love the Father. Verily, verily, it is truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That's what it's all about. You know, I really want you to know how simple He makes it. So many people would have you say, well, now, if you're going to go to heaven, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do this, and you can't have done this, and you can't have done this. No, He said, if you love me, if you believe me, you're going to have everlasting life. What's the opposite of that? Hell. He didn't say all those don'ts and do's like a lot of people would tell you. Why? Because as a Christian, when you repent, they're erased. They're gone. He doesn't even want to hear about it anymore. And you're clean, clear through. And therefore, you have that. It's so simple, so easy to love the Lord and to repent. Talk to Him. That's what prayer is. It's simply talking to Him. Not some big written statement by some scholar. Talk to Him from your heart. Let Him know you love Him. And He always forgives. That's His way, and so it is. But that's how easy that you attain everlasting life, is to love Him and as best you can, do His commandments. 48, I am the bread of life, born at Bethlehem. What does Bethlehem mean in the Hebrew tongue? House of bread. And there you have it, okay? He is, there was a reason for everything, and He is that bread from heaven. Your fathers, 49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They partook of that angel's food, and that's exactly what it was. It was angel's food from heaven, but it didn't give you eternal life. Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die, but to find that everlasting life. 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will bring is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, this takes a little understanding. You got to think spiritually, not in the flesh. Okay. What is he talking about? Well, if you go back to John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and walked among us. So what do you partake of when you partake of His body? The Word. And when you pull that Word within yourself, it gives you eternal life. It gives you peace of mind. It gives you understanding. It's the best advice you can receive anywhere. Instructions on how to do what is right and to find eternal life and, quite frankly, live forever in the eternity. That's how simple it is. He came to clear that way for you, to clear that path so that you can attain that, so that you can master it, so that you can have it. Now, turn with me to the 20th chapter of this same book. 21, make it. John 21. The bread of life has been crucified. He has risen. And He's about to make His third appearance to the children after resurrection. Let me repeat that. He's about to make the third appearance after He rose from the dead. Right. What are the children doing as He is waiting there? Verse 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto Him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. Now let me tell you something. What are the disciples supposed to be fishers of? Men. You're supposed to be fishing to bring truth to people, to give them hope, so that the Lord can tug at them. So the Lord can draw them. So the Holy Spirit can touch them. That's what it's about. That's what draws as a magnet to the Heavenly Father. They didn't mention, let's pray about it. They just said, let's get in the boat and go. Even after all they've been through, they left Christ out of the equation. Don't ever do that in your life. I don't care what you go to do. Ask His blessings. Okay. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Still quite a ways out there, over 100 yards. They couldn't quite make out just who it was. Verse 5. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And What kind of meat are we talking about here, okay? Meat of the Word. And they answered Him, no. When you want to fish for men, listen carefully. Verse 6, and He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. Always fish to the right, never to the left. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw. There's our word, okay? To draw it for the multitude of fishes. When you put Christ in your boat, when you fish the way He tells you to, you can't draw, you can't hold it all. It's overflowing. And you know, this is what it is in your Christian walk. Be very careful that you fish out of the right side of the boat. Well, what's over on the left? Socialism and communism. And they will try to drive you away from God. They will try to draw you in a different direction than to the Father. And do you know what that direction is? It's away from God. And when you go away from God, you're going to draw up an empty net. It was so full they couldn't draw it. Verse 7, therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, that'd be John, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked from the waist up, and did cast himself into the sea. He was excited. I mean, this will be the third time. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. About 100 yards, you know, in our measurements. Nine. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Did the Lord need their meat? No, he didn't. He already had meat. He had fed thousands the day or so before. And verse 10, Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and he drew the net. There's our word again, only this time it's drew. Okay. The net to land full of great fish, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. In other words, there's always room for more Christians. So many people will get jealous and so forth of truth and try to eliminate certain people. Don't ever do that. You're not a judge. The church will always hold as many as will, as long as you teach truth and as long as you do it God's way, and God will take care of the calling. You don't have to worry about it. Okay. There's always room for more, especially in Christianity. How precious it is. And you live in a generation when you want to be prepared for that day. It's coming. Now, there is an opposite to this. You can find it in the great book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. Next book over. Acts chapter 20. Verse 27. Let's pick it up there. And concerning the teaching and the spreading of the word, the living word. It reads in verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I haven't held anything back. Verse 28, take heed. This means you be real careful. Well, what am I supposed to be careful of? Well, listen. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. This is especially you that plant seeds, and you're made an overseer. That means one that helps spread the word. To feed the church of God. That's the way the word spreads. Which he hath purchased with his own blood. What a price to pay. Didn't come free, friend. It didn't come free at all. And even freedom today, many of us have shed blood on foreign soil that we can have these freedoms. And people still fight this day for that freedom. But Christ paid the ultimate. Freedom is not free, and you're supposed to oversee. But he's saying, you be real careful. Why? Verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. If they can, you're going to have some false teachers and preachers. They're going to come in the name of Jesus claiming to be Christian preachers. You want to be careful. Verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw. There's our word again, but in the opposite direction, just like a magnet will cast off in an opposite direction to draw away disciples after them, to deceive them, to give false teachings, and so it is. 31, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so it is, and he continues that warning today. You want to watch, my friends, about false teachers. Verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That's what the word does for you. When you're down, you ever down? You know, most of us can have some bad days. The word of what? God's word. It'll build you up. It'll strengthen you. It'll make you feel good. Why? Because he loves you. And that love draws. It tugs. He pulls at you. And that's God taking you into his arms and comforting you. Right into the sanctuary, which he paid an awesome price to rip that veil of the Holy of Holies so not just the high priest could go in, but it was rent as he was on the cross from top to bottom so that you could go in and talk to the Father. Tell him your problems and be blessed by him. That's what he did for us. But, beloved, don't you ever... I'm not really a deep Bible scholar, you might say. How can I know of a certain that someone's really a false teacher? If they can't prove it in the Word of God, it's not so. Now, everybody can read, and the Bible is so simple a child can understand it. If you'll just let the Bible speak, if you'll let the Word of God speak rather than some man, it's so simple and so clear. He made it so easy that if you have the faith and if you believe, it'll build you up. It will strengthen you. And you'll have an inheritance, which means what? You inherit heaven. You inherit that eternal life. One more time, let's go to the great book of Hebrews. You all remember the 10th chapter of Hebrews. It's where Christ would say, lo, I come in the volume of the book to pay that sacrifice for one and all times, doing away with the statutes, which are the rituals of the Bible, not the law. He did not do away with the law, but the statutes, which have to do with blood sacrifice, because he became our sacrifice for one and all times. And so it is that he would go in once for all of us. And it would be sacrilegious for you to try to offer blood or sacrifice blood anymore, because he was it. Okay. For the Christian, that ended the ritual of blood sacrifices. So that's what this 10th chapter was about up to this point. We're going to pick it up in verse 15, where he continues after that. Wherefore the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, and I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Well, where did we read that? Well, we just did in Isaiah 54:13, remember? It's a promise that God makes to his election, that he will lead you. You may not even know what to pray for, as it's written in Romans chapter 8. But he will intercede in your life as one of his elect and guide you. Verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You want to be real careful. A lot of people make a bad mistake here. They repent of a sin, and they keep bringing it up. That's an insult to him. He doesn't want to hear about it. It's forgiven. It's erased. It doesn't exist. So why would you keep bringing it up to him? Pretty soon he'll get tired of it and he'll dump the whole wagon on you. Okay. You don't want that. So don't bring up sins to God that you've repented of. No, no. Verse 18. Now where we mission, or where they're forgotten of these, is there is no more offering of sin. Why? They don't exist. 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. You can be real bold to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. He shed that blood. He rent that veil. You don't need some priest or preacher to talk to God for you. You can talk to Him yourself. He loves you. He wants to hear from you. So you can talk. Well, is that prayer? Yes, it is. When you talk to Him and just whatever, visit with Him through the day. You don't even have to say it out loud, for He knows what you're thinking. Verse 20. By a new and a living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that veil that was rent, that is to say His flesh. And that veil was His body. He paid that price, and it's open to us if you believe upon Him. And having an high priest over the house of God, a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, okay, the king of the righteous, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with a pure water. And then we find in that 22nd verse, let us draw. Okay. There's that tug. There's that word. Let us draw near with a true heart. Don't try to con Him, okay? Don't get all mixed up. I mean, be honest with Him. Let Him know you love Him. And He will draw you. He'll tug at you. That Holy Spirit will say, you welcome. I love you. Come on in. Even to the Holy of Holies, His very presence. And in full assurance, He draws. Okay. And having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience, it's all gone. 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Don't ever forget that. So many people really wash out their lives by, you know what it is? They can't forgive themselves. They think they're so special that they could never have fallen short. Well, you did. When you did it, you did it. And, well, I thought I was too good for that. Well, you weren't. Okay. So once you've repented, that's it. It's done. Over. Forget it. Okay. Forgive yourself. You're not perfect. Well, I thought I was. Well, you're not. Okay. But many people have trouble with that, and the reason I'm bearing down on that is don't get caught in that old trap, okay? Once it's forgiven, it's over. You're fresh. You know something? It's like it never happened. It's gone. Okay. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful. 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Look out for each other. Build each other up. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't ever, you know, a lot of people would say, well, how do we assemble together? Do you realize right now we're going around the world? You know? This ministry is not just for the group that is here. But we gather together all the way around the world, 300 and almost 50 television stations and all satellites. We gather together to talk to Him, to talk to Him. Shortwave around the world, even now, as God partakes, as God leads. Many miracles happen. He said you'll do greater things than this little crowd I've got here. And so it is that we do gather together. And you're a part of that. You make it possible. Thank God. Praise God. God loves us. And when you use His word to uplift others, build them up. When you see someone suffering, give them a kind word. Okay. Help them out. And, you know, not, I mean, all of you are streetwise. You know who you can help and who you cannot help without offending or getting in trouble, and so it is that we do this. Now, not forsaking that assembly, as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? That's the last sentence of that verse we just read. You got to lock in on it, beloved. As you see, what day? The day of the Lord. Well, what's the day of the Lord? Well, how long is the day with the Lord? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, 1,000 years of our time. It's called the millennium. It's coming. It's approaching. And if you're one of God's elect, do you know what happens at you if you do? It happens to you if you do forget that. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. This is God's elect that are delivered up before the Antichrist on that day, or just before that day, that you're to let the Holy Spirit speak through you. If you refuse, that's the unpardonable sin, for it's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If you don't understand that, don't worry about it. Put it on the shelf. It'll be fine. Okay? But this is not some simple little sin that you commit let's take even divorce. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin. It's forgivable. Okay? But the unpardonable sin is for one of God's elect that know better, that have the truth, to know he's the fake Christ, Antichrist, is to give in to him and refuse the Holy Spirit to speak through you. That, my friend, is unforgivable. Is it not? Is it going to happen? I don't think so. I know God's elect pretty well, and I think they all, if anything, will have a hard time telling to. They want to tell Satan what they think about him, okay? In so many words. And you're not to premeditate. You're supposed to let the Holy Spirit speak. Continuing 27. But a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Now everybody, when they hear fiery indignation, against who? Adversaries. Not Christians. Adversaries. Those that are against God's people. Okay. He loves us. He's not angry at us. He doesn't get up every morning and say, I wonder which one of my little children I can zap today. Okay. He doesn't do that. He loves you. But he is very strong against that adversary. Verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. It's different now, though. Christ came. Of how much more, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be through thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Well, what's the Spirit of grace? Holy Spirit. You can't turn down the Holy Spirit. That's what draws you. That's what leads you. That's what tugs at you. And he wants you to assist him in planting those seeds that save souls, other people. Some of you have a destiny and a purpose, and you've known it since you were a child, that there was more to God's word. Listen up. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. We're not going to judge them, but he is. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You do not want to do that. You know why? Man can kill your flesh body. God can kill your soul. Okay. I mean, he can write you out of the eternity. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. 33, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock by both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. You saw others, it happened to others, and so it happened. For ye had compassion on me in my bond. While I was still in prison, you still loved me. You cared for me. And took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and a more enduring substance. In other words, you lived a good Christian life, and you set a good example. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. You can't imagine the reward, beloved. God says, I know what you have need of, and I'll add it to you if you'll do my work. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And he made a lot of promises. You can receive all of them if you'll claim them. He said, remind me of them. You talk to me about them. That way I can justify you, he said. Okay, let's talk about it, he said. Isaiah 43, verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. There's going to be an end. The hourglass is tipped. The fig tree generation has time upon it. And that's the final generation. 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, there's our word, draw back. If you pull back from the tug of God, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You're not the type that pulls back when God speaks to you. It's just not you. Verse 39, but ye are not of them who draw back, that pull away unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Not only your soul, but you have compassion on your brothers and sisters, that their souls know the truth also. Now, in the very next book after this one, it's called James. I want to go to James to wrap this up in chapter 4. And we're going to pick up on two little verses here, and then we're going to cease. Verse 7 and 8. Don't ever forget them. It's the crown of this message to draw as a magnet. Verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, not to somebody else. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. So many people are so afraid of that is negative. Christ gave you power over Satan in his name. Be a horse and use it. You don't have to take stuff off anybody. Okay. Satan will, he just picks on me. Well, then get rid of him. Don't put up with it. Verse 8, to complete. Draw, there's our word, tug, pull. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Don't be a double-minded thinker. Think singly. We have a Savior, and to follow him is a life eternal. That he loves us, that he blesses us. Double-mindedness will create doubt, and if you're not careful, it leaves room for one of those wolves to slip in. And you know something? We use the terminology wolves and evil. That's not the way they talk. A false teacher says, oh, you know what? I can tell by looking at you, you're one of the sharpest things God ever created. I can tell you are really above average. That's Satan talk, friend. You know yourself. Don't ever let some soothsayer come into your life and twist you down. Ask him sometime, where's that written in God's Word? Because I was a sinner up until I was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are you getting all that stuff? Back them off, okay? Because and put them down. But the evil, why are you saying this? Because a lot of people don't realize that Satan is one of the most beautiful creatures in the world. And Satan's M.O. is to build you up as he pulls the rug right out from under you. Tell you how great you are. You know. And a piece of work, man. I mean, he's a piece of work. But he will sure sweet talk you right into hell if you let him. So be on guard. Don't be drawn away from the truth, the Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your body, the Word, Father, for becoming the Word that walked among us. the body that we partake of, Father, that living word that gives us peace and truth and leadership, Father. Let each of these be a blessing to all they come in contact with, Father. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.